Today are from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 to 11, and Mark, first chapter, verses 1 to 8. Comfort, O comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them to his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. Now from the book of Mormon. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all of the people of Jerusalem went up to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. A word from our Holy Scriptures.
This summer, my brother was out here for a little while, and we got a chance to drive through the mountains. And so we took the south route around and around through Kimberley and up north. And the weather was spectacular for traveling, not so much for the warmth and heat. We were out before the fire started, so it was a nice time to be traveling. Came back through Radium and through. But inevitably, in the middle of summer, early summer, July it was, we always encounter one thing when we're traveling through the mountains. And what is that? Snow? What? Mosquitoes? Construction. That's all year, yeah. Inevitably, you come upon construction that is sometimes miles long, and you have to stop and wait for the light because only one lane is open through the mountains on occasion. Sometimes it takes a considerable time when you're waiting to get through, and you're in a hurry to get someplace. The more hurried you get, the slower it becomes. Well, I read a story this week about Ruth and Billy Graham also driving through the mountains. Some of you know who Billy Graham is and his wife, Ruth, and They were driving through the mountains on a holiday once, and they too came upon some construction. And it was miles long, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and finally they got out of it and came to the end and saw a road sign at the end of this construction. And Ruth turned to her husband and said, "Those words on that roadside sign, that's what I want on my tombstone." And the words on this road sign read, "End of construction. Thanks for your patience." Every year during Advent, we read the words of Scripture speaking of a coming Messiah, the one who will be the Prince of Peace. And on the second Sunday of Advent, we always light the candle of peace, hoping once again that there's even the slightest possibility that there could be peace in the world, even when we know that peace has really been elusive since the beginning of humans on Earth. At least it appears so. If we just listen to the news daily or watch it or read it, we realize that peace in the world is as elusive as it ever has been. Yet somehow, every Advent, we dare to dream that something new is actually possible in the world. And we are reminded to be patient, to wait, that the world and we are still under construction. But that someday, somehow, the construction part will be over and that God will have done something amazing, miraculous, complete with creation. Christ, then, in Scripture, is the beginning and the end, and we're in the messy middle part right now. Be patient, our story tells us. Most of us want peace. Not everybody in the world wants peace, but most of us. And the dissonance in our lives comes because there seems to be so little peace these days. I don't meet a lot of peaceful people. People who exude a certain serenity, joy, and contentment. People who are just at peace with themselves and their circumstances, despite whatever is swirling around them. I do encounter them occasionally. They are actually remarkable people. They're not people who are oblivious to what's going on in the world or who ignore the pain and suffering that are around them. They are people, though, who go around in their lives with a calm assurance that no matter what happens, they're okay, and that they are in God's care. They do what they can. They don't, as Candace was talking about this, they don't beat themselves up. They realize that they're okay, and they leave the rest to God. And it occurred to me this week that perhaps we're looking for peace in the wrong place. The great Trappist monk, Thomas Merton, once said, "If you yourself are at peace, then there is at least some peace in the world. Then share your peace with everyone, and everyone will be at peace." If you yourself are at peace, then there is peace in the world. The seeds of peace, I believe, are contained within every one of us. Peace is not an external condition. Things in the external world change when it changes, the state changes within us. And it's possible if we patiently practice peace. It's a work in progress, of course. Brian McLaren writes that peace is a state of relational wholeness and well-being in which love, not hostility, reigns. In which love, not hostility, reigns. We can have an absence of conflict in the world and still have hostility, anger. unrest. Peace is when there is truly love between people. Peace is that experience of unconditional love of God in our lives and shared with others. It goes further than avoiding conflict. It's the desire for the wholeness and well-being of all others, as well as ourselves. The world can't know peace until we know peace in ourselves, until we dispel the anxiety and restlessness in our lives and rest in God. In our scripture this morning, Isaiah cries out to the people, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And in the same way, John the Baptizer comes along, appears in the wilderness, echoing Isaiah's cry to prepare the way of the Lord, to make a way for the promised one to enter into your lives. The one, he says, who will baptize with the Holy Spirit, the one who will show us the way to experience peace. And here's the thing. The Holy Spirit has always been present. It's already present when Jesus shows up. Jesus helped people to realize it, to experience it, to connect with God in ways that were transformative. So it is that every year we prepare once again to experience the coming of the one who will remind us that God is still in the world, still at work, still illuminating the darkest places in our lives and in the world. A couple of weeks ago, during a time of reflection myself in contemplation, I had what was for me an epiphany. Other people may realize that this already, but what I realized is we are doing our children a disservice by not giving them the tools they need to be grounded, to find inner peace, to live simpler lives. We think we need to give them the tools to live productively in the world, but who is giving our children the tools that they need to live simpler lives, to be grounded in themselves, to know what serenity actually feels like? The reality is we have peaked as far as material wealth goes. We can't go any further with that. Our children can't go any further with that. We cannot encourage future generations to be as successful in the material world as the last few generations have been. We can't do it in good conscience. We can't aspire to have more and consume more. In fact, that would be highly unethical of us to do so. And as we've discovered, material wealth doesn't make people happy. The path we need to encourage now is for people and our young people to find satisfaction, contentment, and peace with less consumption and greater serenity in their lives. To not need more of anything in order to be happy. To not crave prosperity, fame, status, which are fleeting anyway. To not compete with our neighbors, but to work with them for the well-being of all. What our children really need today are the tools to seek serenity, not success as we have defined it. In order to prepare the way of the Lord, we need to still and slow down our lives enough to let the Holy Spirit come out to work in us, to find that still, small voice that speaks when the world is swirling around us, and it takes a lifetime of practice. We prepare the way for the Lord when we still our turbulent minds and lives to just be with God. And that's not a popular thing to do these days, just to sit and be. Lots of people see it as wasted time. Our busyness and striving for more is taking the joy out of our lives and preventing the peace we actually really long for. So how do we prepare for peace? We can't force ourselves to be at peace or demand peace of time, but we can prepare the mind to be still, allowing the Holy Spirit to be at work in our lives. The best way I know to do this is through meditation and prayer. a good practice to develop during Advent. In fact, I need a lot more of it myself. That's why it is going to be the basis of my sabbatical, to work on meditative practices. But instead of talking about it this morning, I thought we'd practice it just for a moment. So I'm going to invite you to put things down, to just relax, put your feet on the ground, both feet, be grounded. Find a place where you can be just relaxed, at peace. And I invite you, if you wish, to either close your eyes or find a focus point. Lights, perhaps, works for you. Become aware of your body in the seat. Just you. It's just you right now. Rest. And I invite you to tense your muscles for a moment and then just let them relax. Now begin to breathe deeply and slowly. Breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Big, deep breaths. With each breath, release the tension built up in your muscles and let yourself relax. Just breathe. With each breath, you are releasing the thoughts and worries on your mind. Surrender each distracting thought and feel yourself relaxing into a greater and greater sense of rest and peace. Release all the tension. Breathe peace. Release worries. Breathe peace. Now imagine that you are resting with God. Take just a few moments now to explore this experience of peace. What images come to mind when you hear the word peace? And as you continue to breathe deeply and slowly, allow God to shape these images of peace. Your life about your state of wholeness and well-being today. What is God speaking into your life about your state of wholeness and well-being? Finally, if Jesus were to offer you peace right now, what would that look and feel like for you? I'm going to invite you now to take just a few more deep breaths and slowly return to this place and to the people around you. It is more important than ever, when the world is not at peace, to take the time to rest in God, to find those places where you can come out of the world and into God's presence, and to listen for what God has to say to you when the Holy Spirit is working. Prepare the way of the Lord, Isaiah says, and John the Baptist. Only when we are at peace, when we are prepared for God, for the Christ child to come into our life, will we begin to know peace when we practice it. And peace can spread. You know, when you go into a place and people have been fighting, you can feel that. You also know when you go into a place and there is peace. You can feel that too. Peace can spread. Be patient. Create space over this Advent season for the Holy Spirit to work on you. We're all under construction. This season, may God continue to do the good work he has begun in you through Christ. At this time, I'm going to invite you to pray. Thank you.